agency staff. Kenneth Gilligan is here. Timothy DeGraff.
Here.
Charlie Whitaker.
Here.
Angela Peoni.
Here.
Melinda France.
Here.
Brenna Whitaker is on
vacation.
Pledge allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is the recorder on?
It's on?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I want to thank everybody for coming today. In case you haven't heard or you haven't read the minutes from the governance meeting last week, the three board members who were present at that meeting nominated and appointed and voted for me to actually chair the Zero Waste Committee meeting. And so if that's all right, if that was an appropriate procedure.
It is certainly a good temporary procedure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Great. So I just want to thank everybody for coming in a very busy season, as I understand it is here at the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency. Up on the agenda as new business is a ongoing discussion about a zero waste resolution. So I guess we are gathered here today to talk about what the content of that resolution could look like and perhaps also the reasoning why we're taking this step. And also, I particularly am interested in learning from staff about what a role such a policy could play in this organization in a positive direction that supports our work rather than makes it more challenging or difficult or impossible to achieve such moving in such a direction. Also, does anyone have anything they want to comment on at this time? Or?
I do.
Yeah.
So staff and I have been chatting, obviously working on this all for a while. One of my big takeaways from all this is, and the more I learn since coming on as executive director, is the role that the legislature is playing in all this. And there's more to that that's concerning to me than just what's on the surface. Because I think there's a potential with the Recycling Oversight Committee for conflicts of interest, potential ethics stuff that's could be down the road that we, might have, that actually the county would have to deal with. But why do I bring that up? I bring that up because, as you said, when you talk about staff and the agency's role in all this, the more I learn, the more I realize we were already doing a lot of this stuff.
Way back in 2002.
Yeah, and we came across, actually Charlie worked on it, and Melinda was going through some old resolutions as he remembered, and I actually made copies for everybody. We actually have resolutions on the books exactly for this stuff. One was from 2004, and the second one was made back in 2003. So, I mean, I think that stuff needs to be addressed, the fact that we already had this on the books. And secondly, Angie put a lot of time and effort into essentially crafting a letter that I think will help us immensely. It's 4 plus pages long, bullet after bullet of things that we have done, we are doing, that she'd like to do. A lot of it is, and Angie, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of it has to do with education. Be it the basis or the core of where, the recycling department's core teaching methods are. But more importantly, I think it's where we want to go. And I'll hand out copies of all this to you guys. But I really would like for the board to, instead of worrying about what the legislature is doing, concentrate and support the staff on what we're actually doing. I really wish last fall, somebody would have said to them or been aware, we're doing a lot of this. Please don't waste all your time and energy on something, and let's work off of what we're already doing. Because otherwise, it seems like a huge waste to me. It doesn't seem like it. It actually is a huge waste. And the other item, as we've been working down and back with the compost and everything, we've been talking about forever, obviously, the bagging machine. And We discussed, Charlie discussed putting up essentially like a barn to run the bagging operation through so that there's a covered area. Well, we were now looking at the new blacktop, which looks extraordinary, and we started measuring out things for how big this space could actually be. So one thing led to another, and we realized that down there, there's an opportunity not just to have this bagger up and running, which is great, but it's also an opportunity for a demonstration area and for a place for us to put a brand new recycling education center. And that would essentially work out to, what did we say, 24 by 24?
Charlie? I think it was 36 by 24.
Right, but the recycling classroom itself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's excluding the area for the bagger itself,
right.
24 by 24.
Right. So, and we were thinking we would be able to put up a glass plane between the classroom and where the bagger would work as so that the kids or whoever comes in can see what's going on. And then we could work out a way to where we could even put jersey barriers around and have almost like an observation site for anyone that's there outside the building. They could see everything that's going on in the facility. It would be a great way to teach. And I think it would be an excellent opportunity for Angie and Melinda to come up with ways to incorporate reused items to build the inside and to make it part of the teaching event. And we have cameras that we can utilize, which is sort of safety measures, to where instead of the kids roaming around through the sorting line, or anybody roaming around through the sorting line, they can just show them right on the TV screen. So I think there's just an excellent opportunity to take what we've been doing and expand on that and really concentrate on education from that standpoint. And Charlie and I have been in discussions trying to redo the job description and come up with a recycling compliance officer. So that this agency is concentrating on recycling compliance and education, which is what I think is the most important. We don't disagree with the concept of zero waste, not at all. And we've talked to you about that, Lisa. And that's not the point of this. We totally agree with the concept. I think it's a method on how we're going about it. You know, we would prefer real change and real education. As Angie states in her document, start small and think big. And I can't agree with that more. I'd rather see it, instead of rolling out these big programs to all kinds of people, we're already doing that with the food waste laws that are about to come into effect. So let's concentrate on that, you know? A lot of the research I did on zero waste and, like, say, out on the West Coast or ecology, in the beginning, all their diversion numbers, you know, the effect was, you know, pretty high the first couple of years. And why was it? Food waste, and we're already doing that. And single stream recycling. We know that we're not going to be doing that. You know what I mean? So they're two big, those are their two big numbers. And so we're already there. So once again, we're already doing this stuff. Let's not try and reinvent the wheel. Let's build on the assets and the minds that we already have here. And I'm going to hand out this paperwork. And on top of that, Angie's actually drafted. I think that is just, it's actually an excellent resolution that supports what the agency is doing and what it's looking to do, as opposed to something outside of here that shouldn't have this type of direct effect on us. So I think from a technical standpoint, we would be doing it the right way. And if they want to work with us thereafter, well, of course, that's what we're here for. We're not here for contention, you know what I mean? So this is all the type of, like I said, staff has been chatting a lot about this. We haven't stopped working on it, and it's all relevant. It really is.
And Lisa, I would like to say, you know, in order for zero waste to be successful, the goals of zero waste, the plan itself, has to be attainable. So we have to be able to reasonably reach those goals, or else we're just going to fail. Nobody wants to fail. We build here at the agency out in the field, the people, I'm very proud of them, you know, on success, not failure. So it has to be a reasonable plan. And as Tim said, we are doing a lot of this stuff, diverting as much as we can while still working safely. I read the plan on the books, and I don't honestly think that a lot of this is really our doing. You don't try to raise the dead at the funeral parlor before it goes to burial, and that's what we are. We're the funeral parlor. You know, that has to be done in the hospital. So what I mean by that is the businesses would be the hospital, the restaurants, the residents, you know, that's where you fix that problem. You don't fix it here while you're trying to safely operate and load trailers and keep everybody from getting injured on the job. And also reasonably following with the regulations. We have a lot of, this is a permitted place, not a registered place. Registrations are very, very, very strict. I have some stuff I'd like to pass out also, so you folks can kind of just see in the last 2 months what we've been dealing with on site. Tim is familiar with that. Tim, I also want to hand you this, just so you don't forget, so you can just touch on that. That's a very big thing right there, because it, when Manana Joe worked for us, she was instrumental in creating that, and it's no longer here, so, you know,
yeah.
We try.
I don't know if anyone was familiar with Jill Gruber and the Hudson Valley Materials Exchange. I remember it was down at Stewart Airport first.
Yeah, was here, then down here.
And then they were forced to move. I think they're actually building a parking lot or expanding there. And then she ended up moving all of her trailers to actually the town of New Paltz site and
reuse them.
Yeah, and I know it's not around anymore. And I mean, I get the point, but it's not something, as we've discussed before, it's more of a not-for-profit model, this reuse stuff. And the more that I'm out and about and seeing the operations and seeing what's going on, I can't stress as much that the concept of trying to pull this type of stuff out of the garbage as it reaches here, it's not safe. It's not a good way to do it. If you want to do stuff like this, and it was helpful too, I was able to find out that she actually was getting $300,000 a year in grant money to help support this operation, which ultimately still didn't succeed. So we do have to consider a financial aspect of that, especially when we're everything, our tipping fee is based off of all the expenses, so we got to realize who's paying for this stuff. So I really think it's important to realize we don't want to be grabbing stuff out of the transfer station. It's just not safe. So this stuff needs to be done before it gets here. And that's where the not-for-profit model comes in. That's where I think the county would be able to assist in this stuff the most, is trying to set up that type of stuff and promote it apart from us. It's different. Our function in this, I think, is mutually exclusive. We're not the ones that are going to be, you know, pulling things out and building benches and repairing things. We already promote stuff like footprint repair cafe. We're already doing that. And I think as they get hopefully deeper into the education classes, which we'd really like to build on, especially if we get the new building built, not if, but when we get the new building built, that's where I would concentrate all those efforts at, is getting that information out there through those classes.
And, you know, and Lisa, I want to add, and I'm going to pass some pictures around just from the last 2 months of some, because we have very talented people. We do go through, you know, our training is rigorous, and the folks know what they're doing out there. Just in the last 2 months alone, the asbestos, friable and non-friable, the chemicals that are brought into the place, you know, this stuff all has to be caught. It can't go to the landfill, and it can hurt our employees. So we have to keep an eye on that stuff. You know, people, they still throw things away without any concern of where it's going or who has exposure to it or could be harmed from it. So I do have a bunch of pictures I'd like to send to you folks around the table so you can understand what we're doing. We're taking, I spoke last year, and I think I spoke at the last board meeting about slowly incorporating changes inside the transfer station as far as trying to divert as much material. You know, you have to make things routine for folks. You can't just say, we're going to do this, 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 because you're going to overwhelm them, we're going to fail. Nobody likes to fail. That doesn't build morale. So, well, I think last year, the year before that, I talked about divert and clean wood out of the transfer station. And then this year, I said, we're going to, once we make that routine and we do the best we can, we were going to try to do textiles. And I got to tell you, I had Tim involved, and I had Andy involved, and Melinda's been involved. And, you know, while it seems it's easy to put on a piece of paper, find more markets, that's not so easy. And I got to tell you, you know, everybody is now going domestic, especially now with China and these other countries. It's going to make markets more difficult. You know, you got companies out there that do hundreds of thousands of tons, big, huge companies. We're small, and there's a lot of us. We don't stand a chance. It's difficult enough for us and places like us to keep moving materials. So I think that also has to be a consideration when we start talking about diverting more materials. it's business 101, right? Supply and demand, right? So if you have a lot of supply but there's no demand, where's this stuff going to go? Anybody know? It's going to lay around. And it has before. We've seen it. And this started happening in 2013 with China. Bales of paper outside, all over the place. So, you know, you have to be able to move it. It's nice to write down fine markets. But it, trust me, I do it all the time. It's tough. It's difficult. So everything has to be reasonable, and we have to put a structure in place that's going to be a success for our employees so we can continue to be successful, not fail, or else it's just not going to happen. So I think everything has to be reasonable. I want to pass around some pictures, and I want you to take a play. This is the last couple of months. I also want to say this. November 10th, 2003, first of all, let me touch on the marketing. With the linen, with the textiles, we talked to some places and stuff, and even... It's a business, right? If they, some people just resell them. They don't want you to pre-sort them. They don't want anything diverted from the trash. It's been difficult. So I have a third person now coming to take a look at taking our textiles. I'll see how it goes. But so things, you know, aren't as easy as other people make it seem. It's easy for me to tell you what you should do, right? When I don't have to do it. When I'm not involved in doing, and when I have nothing in there, where I have no experience to know how tough it can be. So it's easy to expect these things, but it's another thing to actually achieve it. So I want to just pass these pictures around. These are the last couple of months, and I want you to see it. There's asbestos, chemicals, drums of stuff. These are all things. I just got a call from the DEC today because... was it Friday, Tim? I had to send that report out. Do you remember when I talked to you on it? Friday or Saturday?
I thought it
was
Thursday.
Thursday. So, was friable asbestos came in, and I had to. It was Saturday.
You sent me the report on
it was Saturday. I'm on Saturday because I made a phone call. It was Saturday. I had to call the DEC. I had to report it, and I had to do a report immediately and send it to the DEC. And I was told today, I got a phone call today saying that we handled everything like we should. Everything was done wonderful. That's why these non-routine inspections, is the exact word they use, you know, are supposed to catch things like this. So we did a wonderful job, my guys, of catching it. And this is the, you know, some of these are from February of 2020, but this is the stuff that we have to really, really pay attention to. You got to remember, our business, right, I always say recovery is number one, but we still have to move waste safely. Waste is a reality. We move 130,000 tons, and we're just a small player. New York City does a lot more. You know, Westchester County does a lot more. So, you know, we're just small players. We still have to safely move waste, and we still have a responsibility to ensure that our employees are working in the best and safest environment, considering the type of work that we're doing. That's our job. So that's what I want to hear. So before we get into doing things that really doesn't, I don't think that really is something we should be doing. I think that if the legislators want this kind of stuff done, I think they gotta, you know, they gotta create jobs and create departments and do this stuff themselves. It's not for us to do. You know, the gorilla in the room is, we always talk about it, right? Is finding another place to bring waste. I mean, time is running out. I have a resolution right here from, and I was gonna actually share that also, from 1990, and that resolution, it says selection of solid waste disposal and technologies, and implemented it. That was 1990. We're here still talking about that stuff. So I think we should have a, you know, we should be focused on better technology, you know, and solid waste. Listen, zero waste doesn't mean zero waste. I think the only reasonable thing with zero waste is what Kathy talks about all the time, right? Maybe finding some kind of technology, right, where there's no waste afterwards, no residual. So I think that's reasonable. So I think these things should be taken into consideration by the board, especially this committee, and their suggestion to the entire board, you know, what our role is and what we can achieve successfully. And listen, and what we've been. I think that when I show you... exactly what we've been diverting, right, according to the environmental conservation law, right, the EPA, and also our permits and our contingency and our operation manual, I think we've been doing a wonderful job. But I don't know what more other people that don't do the job can expect out of us. That's outside of us.
Is this asbestos?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it the siding?
Yeah, so we have, there's non-friable asbestos and friable asbestos that, you know, this, and also chemicals
and drums. So that would be the non-friable.
And industrial waste that came in until, you don't know it until you actually push it when it comes off the roll-off, so we have problems with that. So, and the DEC's been notified with all these things. So that's our job, that's our role, to safely, and I can't say it enough, safely move waste. That's what we do. And what we pull and divert from the trash is actually incidental from what our job is. Our job is to move waste.
And the more we're forced to, the employers are forced to concentrate on pulling out what it may be considered valuable, resellable, reusable material, we're going to miss stuff like this, which is truly hazardous to the environment.
In 2005, when we tried to put this reuse center together, I had three guys that ended up down the emergency one. Actually, I forgot all about that until one of my employees reminded me of that. So on that day that we did this, the people in charge were so overzealous to make this work, three of my guys ended up down the emergency one, stepping on nails, cutting their fingers, hitting their heads, something falling on them. So I want that to be taken into consideration. Remember, and I meant to bring you up the pictures of the traffic lined all the way around the MRF as recent as this past Saturday. So we have five doors. We still have a responsibility to get the customers in. We do have a flow control county. We still have a responsibility to get people in so they can get back out on the route and pick up the remainder of their trash and make it to us to empty so their packers can be start their route again tomorrow morning. We have that responsibility also. Five doors, and, you know, I think we're doing 300 customers. So all this has to be taken into consideration. While I truly, truly would love to see, and I say this only because I know me, I would love to see no waste. I really would. I would love to see more recycling. And I'm bothered by it every day that we can't do more, or there's a negligence of people who aren't doing what they should be doing. It's extremely bothersome. I live it. I don't just talk it. I live it. Right down to my own food waste and stuff, I do everything I possibly can inside my household. I always look at the glass half full and half empty when I do house cleaning and stuff, and I take my electronics and I take my textiles and all these other stuff. I'm like, wow, look how much stuff is recycled. There are places to bring it. I know, because we're in the business. We provide those services. Mm-hmm. So what can be more expected because other people have an agenda that we can't succeed at?
But I think that's important to note on what Charlie's saying, because the staffer truly does practice what they preach. So when I say that we agree with the concepts, I'm not lying. I was just discussing with Angie about a half hour ago. I started food composting at the beginning of the year in my backyard. The amount of plastic in my house has gone down considerably since the ozone opened up over in my house. We use the laundry detergent, our dish detergent, our hand soap. We switched to bar soap at home. So there's things that you can do outside of these big grand plans that look great on the surface. But I think it's still all this starts at home and not at the resource recovery agency. But I restate one more time that the concept of such, we agree with it because we're doing it ourselves.
Can I piggyback on after I hear what you all are saying? So I think that part of the issue is that this is why it's educating the residents of Ulster County. And that, again, might not be, I mean, we have a wonderful crew that does some wonderful work, right? And so, but it goes back to the individual source separation.
Yes.
And so if people did their part, it would make your life a lot easier on the floor, right?
And I think you walked in after I had...
And I apologize. Classes start next week, and I had a huge glitch, and so I got involved in trying to solve my glitch.
But this is important to catch you up on. We were down looking at the new blacktop area, which looks fantastic. But we start discussing about the new barn that we were going to put in for the bag machine to get that operation up and going. And we started measuring things, and we came to the conclusion that we're going to be able to build a brand new recycling education center right down there in the middle of everything. We'll be able to create a barn. One side will have the bagging operation that we'll be able to separate with glass panes, essentially, so that the kids or adults or whoever comes in can see what's going on there.
Jersey barriers on the outside so that you can actually have an observation area so that you can go out and see the composting, the transfer station, the MRF. We're going to utilize the cameras and put in the screen in there so that when they're doing their teaching, they can actually point out to them, watch the people working on the cameras right there. And I've asked them to start trying to figure out ways that we can, when we're building this classroom, which it's going to be a really good size, 24 by 24 down there for the classroom, so that we can expand this teaching. And I think zero waste would come into play with that. You know, that's, you can start having classes on that type of stuff so that people can start, the people who are truly, truly interested. And then once those people start doing it, well, they're going to start talking. And I really think that that's where it should go. So I really want to move forward on creating that new education wing so that they can get moving on education, which I think is along the lines of what we were just talking about.
And Joanne, if I could interject a little bit and talk with you about, in the plan, right, there was some mentions of compost and newspaper and cardboard and textiles. While that sounds great, but that's not what we do. And I want to say this, right, there's got to be a regard and a consideration, right, to what we have, the laws we have to run by. So we have a permit, you know, we have a operations manual, we have a contingent engineering report, plans that we have to submit to get where we are. I would have to get permission from the DEC to actually change the product that we are currently making to do that. I don't think the DEC would like to see us deviate from what we're doing. I don't want to speak for the state, of course, but I think that when you look at what we do and it grows tomatoes and all these other things that it grows that, you know, that we wouldn't have grown 10 years ago, for sure, because we have a lot of farmers, I think what we're doing is where we want to stay, the course we want to stay. And I think food waste is where we want to really channel our energies. As far as educating more and getting Westchester County's going into residential food waste collection. And they want to bring some of it here, well, most of it here, from what I gather. They're opening up a food waste composting place down there, but the county wants it to come here, you know. Nick, who I do business with, I sell commodities to and stuff, Nick says they, you know, we're rock stars to them down there. Those are his words. And that's how well we all do and work together. So I think that's really where we want to look at it. But if you're going to come up with rules and a plan, you know, you have to start looking at what we run by. And our permit is what says we can do and we can't do in our O&M and our plan, the plans we submit to expand and stuff. So none of that was taken into consideration. So it's easy to say, yeah, put all your cardboard there, put all your newspaper there. And listen, there's chemicals, right? So when you look at the glossy, the inserts and mixed news, right? There's microplastics and stuff in there. That's not stuff we want to introduce to our pile. I read an article where when you're burning the cardboard outside, there's benzene and stuff in it. That's not stuff we want to put into our pile. Well, it may work for other people, and it may, for a soil amendment, it may be a great product, but for what we do, you know, it's not what we want to offer. I certainly, and I will not be deviate from what we're doing as far as food waste. I also want to say this. We had a compost in our 20-year plan. It never happened. So we had recycling people then, and it never happened. We have it now, and we're moving forward. And we're bigger and better than we've ever been. And I think before we deviate away from what we're currently successfully doing, I think we ought to really take a good look at that plan and see if it's achievable. I don't think it is.
Well, one thing is, I think that one of the purposes of our meeting today is not to review an outside plan to figure out what we can or like, we're not here, we're here to talk about ourselves, not to take what outside people are trying to tell us we should or should not be doing.
I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I think we're on the same page. It's really what I was hoping to get across is that we are in this together.
Yeah.
People outside of here.
They need to be educated. I mean, educated about what?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying is as I took on this role a month ago and as I start to learn more and more, I was like, oh my God. I mean, maybe I was buried in the numbers too much, but look at all the stuff that we're already doing. How somebody last fall didn't look at or know what we were doing before you started this other plan. You should have done that because you wasted a lot of time. One other thing I wanted to add too is September. I plan on having a resolution for Angie's Toter loan program, which I think builds again once on everything we're doing, her outreaching and teaching these businesses and have them to start diverting their food waste right where it starts, which I think is a huge part of this as well. Another are you doing here?
And on that note, if I can contribute to the conversation, I think Charlie has excellent experience and savvy with his operation, and he has an operational perspective, and Tim clearly has an administrative perspective, and I just wanted the opportunity to share my perspective from the recycling department. I've actually prepared a memo that I'd like to present to the committee. Being as this is the inaugural meeting of this committee, I'd like to thank the board for your leadership in just creating this conversation around zero waste and what more we could possibly do. And to that extent, I'd like to provide the committee with this comprehensive program overview of our recycling department. And it's my hope that this will be helpful to this committee in informing any type of zero waste goals or resolutions that may be accepted by the board. So I don't plan on reading this whole thing.
Can you wait one second?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I don't plan on reading this whole thing line for line, but I would like to spend just a few minutes discussing the content of this memo. Starting with our core teaching philosophy in our recycling department here, because this teaching philosophy informs our approach to every program, workshop, tour, and community engagement activity that we partake in. We believe that waste reduction, recycling, and composting have all three impacts, environmental, economic, and social impacts, and we include all three of these impacts in our educational rhetoric. We believe that zero waste is easy if you start small and think big. We always provide examples of approachable, tangible next steps or behavior changes because we want to empower residents and businesses that they can make a difference and that small things collectively add up. We always emphasize the solutions over the problems because we want to create a call to action, again, to have that positive reinforcement and positive social marketing for people to feel like they can participate in zero waste and that what they are going to do makes a difference. We believe that learning can be fun. Lynn and I have a lot of fun developing these programs, trying to promote interaction, dialogue, hands-on experiences, and create an inclusive learning environment where people can contribute to this conversation about their stories and their experience around waste and purchasing and disposal and composting. You know that we engage with rethinking waste and we promote the 7 R's, that there's way more that we can do aside from recycling and that we incorporate that into every piece of outreach, whether it's someone calling us on the hotline saying, how do I get rid of this? We're going to make sure we hit as many of those R's in that conversation with them, even on our recycling hotline, so that they start rethinking how to use things and how to get rid of them. We want the public to care about recycling, not just as much as possible, but recycling correctly. So we always approach recycling education with that understanding of contamination and how it can ruin the value of recyclables. Here at UCRA, we believe in global warming and climate change, and we incorporate that into our recycling education program. And we always try to communicate the agency's role in sustainable materials management. Even though we're focused on recycling, composting, and strategies for zero waste, in every single program presentation tour, we will incorporate real data about Ulster County's solid waste impact so that people feel really energized and empowered to do what they can to make a difference. And in order to evaluate the success and the reach of these programs, we've implemented program tracking procedures to get feedback from our audiences and to gauge how many people we're reaching, where those people are coming from. We stay connected with them. Did they implement the things that they learned? Did they want to see other topics from us? So we've implemented a program tracking procedure that we're really proud of. And those are just our core teaching philosophies that we approach every new program with all of those things in mind at minimum. Again, I'm not going to read this entire memo line for line, but I would like to just briefly go through some of the components of our recycling department. Again, it's my hope that this will help inform the board to fully realize the scope of the programmatic strategies that we have already incorporated, and we would always love to hear your comments about where you think we might be able to expand beyond these. But as far as site visits, we do offer the free professional consultation services to businesses, schools, hospitals, hotels, and other institutions to evaluate, improve, and implement recycling, waste reduction, and composting programs. So not only will we help them analyze their waste stream through hands-on waste audits, but then we will assist with connecting them to the best resources possible for disposal recycling outlets in the community. In order to reach specific target audiences that might have unique needs, and this is flipping over on the next page, we pull industry groups together with their peers in target audience engagement. So we have targeted meetings, workshops, and open house programs for recycling workers in the county outside of the agency. We have an open house for school administrators that we're working on offering once per year. We have seminars for the business community. We have specific website pages on our website for multifamily dwellings, for commercial businesses, for schools and teachers, as well as for residents. And you may have read in our local solid waste management plan, over the course of the next 10 years, the recycling department is going to have a focused strategic approach year by year to target specific industries, such as healthcare, hospitality, correctional facilities, schools, landlords, festivals and community events, and the list goes on and on. Each year we have a different target audience engagement plan. The memo includes a list of some of the workshops that we've developed in the short time that Melinda and I have been in the department. All of these programs are ready to go. We could go to any library, school, or community center and host a number of workshops on topics like zero waste, education, recycling, composting, alternative disposal, household hazardous waste. Melinda, did you want to jump in there?
And I just wanted to add, you know, this list here, Andy and I have done this in a year and a half of our time, so if we can actually just concentrate on our work that we're doing, it's just going to get bigger and bigger, and that's what we want to do. We want to concentrate on these programs that we have here at UPA so we can keep expanding.
And how we can grow them.
And again, like I said, Angie and I have done this in about a year and a half's time. So our recycling program in the past, it needed to be improved, and Angie and I started from the bottom and we revamped the whole program. So we're working really hard to do that. In order to do that, we need to concentrate on what programs we do have here and see how we can expand on them.
Thank you, Melinda. So yeah, any of those presentations, if the committee would like to take a look at those, I'd be happy to share them. We would also welcome you to come to any of the programs. We haven't had many planned due to COVID-19 this year, but that's always there. And many of our classes that we host at the facility and with tours, we try to accommodate as many tours as possible. So you can see here that you don't just show up and we walk you around. We like to greet you. We usually start a tour with a 30-minute presentation in this meeting room or do a hands-on activity, have a safety briefing, and then go down for the tour. And we spend as much time as the group is interested in spending with us. We've spent up to 2 hours with a group on a tour because they have a lot of questions once they get down there. So we have an open door policy. Come see for yourself how we are growing Ulster Green, and that's true for anyone regardless of their residency status in Ulster County. The recycling department also assists the agency with the Partners in Composting program. So I've developed a formal onboarding process for all new partners or new businesses or schools or institutions that want to bring us food waste for composting. We provide very professional services to help them launch those programs, including consultation services, staff training, promotional materials, free window stickers, posters. We now have a tote bin loan program, and then once a year, I'll also offer facts and figures about the environmental and social impact of their program, so we can also provide them with stats that they can share with their customers or their employees. And regardless of an organization's participation in our composting program, we engage with all stakeholders to build partnerships and resiliency around community food systems. So if a group approached us and they wanted to build their own on-site composting system, we would welcome them to come and meet with us, and we would go there and meet with them and give them all the information and resources that they need, whether or not they wanted to participate in our particular service. And that's just part of our philosophy and our approach to community engagement. And if they chose to use a private company to pick up at the curb, we have a master list of all the resources that are available to them there. We have a wonderful youth education program, and we're continuing to expand on this. Melinda's our resident leader in youth education. She has developed a lot of the games and activities and fact sheets and training programs that we have. I think a lot of that information is probably provided to you in our board meeting, so I'll kind of skip over that. But for social media, educational clearinghouse, which we now call our website, our recycling hotline, our work in public service announcements and advertising, as well as outreach and events. Our department has a very strategic approach where we campaign monthly across all of these networks with the same message, so that there's a lot of consistency to the public service announcements that we're putting on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram, on our newspaper ads, on the radio. So every month we focus on a different topic, and that changes from year to year, and we're really, really proud of that. Tim spoke briefly about recycling enforcement, which is also listed in this memo. You can read a little bit more about. We're extremely excited to be welcoming the agency's new compliance officer when that person is selected and coming to join our recycling outreach team. And we're only going to build from there on our history of recycling enforcement and compliance. And there, I'd just like to highlight that we always lead with education and awareness when approaching recycling compliance issues, that is the pillar of our approach to enforcement before issuing any fines or things like that. And I think that also speaks to the rhetoric and the core teaching philosophy that we have at the agency. And the last component, thank you for your attention through this very lengthy memo. The last component of our program I'd like to comment on is the advocacy and the industry engagement aspect of our recycling education program. You can see here there's a number of industry trade groups and committees that we're involved with. Both Melinda and I, as well as Charlie, are involved in a lot of these committees very hands-on. And we're proud members of the Composting Council, the Solid Waste Association of North America, the National Recycling Coalition, the New York State Association for Reduction and Recycling, the Seal of Testing Assurance Program, and the list goes on and on. So we are not operating with blinders on at the agency. We have the feelers out all the time. And we participate in these industry trade groups and conferences and committees to have access to the best information, the best research-based information available about emerging technologies, innovation in materials management, and best practices in education. And that is the pool of resources that we tap into at the agency to get new ideas and to formulate these programs to keep them sustainable and relevant in our industry. So I'd just like the committee to keep that in mind as well, that we are always looking actively in our industry leadership and our participation in all of these programs. Looking to the future on that last page, we have a lot of ideas for where we can go from here to build on top of all these existing programs that we've done in a year and a half. And, you know, this is a short list, but this doesn't capture everything that was laid out in our solid waste management plan. This doesn't capture everything that's in our board meeting packets every month, but we have an incredible amount of talent in the agency, and I'm really proud to be a part of that. And we're always looking to the future to grow and expand on these programs. Melinda, I'd welcome you to add anything if you...
covered
all. There's a lot of information in there for sure.
What is the last part? It says APRA Zero Waste Resolution.
Yeah, so in acknowledging all of these programs that the agency's already involved in, it would be my hope that a zero waste resolution from this agency would acknowledge the agency staff and the board in demonstrating its leadership in all of these areas and looking to the future. You know, I would hope that we would seek to pursue continued engagement in all of these industry trade groups and organizations and councils to pursue the best information possible with where we can go from here. And that's the summarizing the language that I'm suggesting to the board to approve a resolution that really just acknowledges all this work that we're doing and looking to build on currently.
Actually, in reading this, Angie and Melinda, I think this is wonderful. The only thing I would change on this resolution is I would say the agency adopts core educational values such as, because I think it's adopted all the way through the agency, from the board through.
But as a whole, it's really excellent.
Yeah, I think that, from what I've seen and heard during my time on this board and watching the agency work, that I think that this is, I think that you, and I might actually say change it from educational to, and say, philosophical values, because that's sort of the philosophy that runs the agency. But, that I'm just putting that out there. This is an A. Sorry, I'm already in that mode.
You're getting ready. Right?
Oh my God. Yeah.
So we're busy.
But this is exactly what I think that zero waste means, and this is what I think our agency should stand for. And you guys are out there doing it, and as we do it at our own homes, and as we do it here and for the board, we need to get our message out better to the county. From sitting in on that bit of that meeting the other night that you were also on, Charlie, that Laura Pettit was doing, running. It was like they don't know what we do.
Mm-hmm. They don't.
The recycling and oversight committee.
That disconnect.
I wasn't there.
I also think they want to tell you what they want you to do.
Yes.
So you got to be careful.
That's what the problem is.
But listening to what and again, I apologize for coming in late. Charlie's making a great point in so much as that we don't just decide what we want to do with what comes in. We have guidelines and we have laws that we have to obey. And it's like they don't seem to understand this. So I think that we're already, and I think, Lisa, you had mentioned this before, that we're already doing a lot of the heavy lifting here for zero waste. What we need to do is we need to get, so I would think that the county should have a piece of legislation that says, we're going to fund education for all the residents so they learn.
Well, on that note, I was wondering if recently, first of all, I wasn't, from my understanding, a couple years ago, there was only one recycling educator position, and then it was expanded to two.
That's correct, and the recycling education budget doubled that year that we added a second person in the department, and with the reappropriation of the compliance officer position, Melinda and I have the perspective that there's going to be three people in our recycling department, that person's going to work with us pretty closely.
Yeah. Along those lines, one of the things I've been wondering about is with other agencies like ours, I know a lot of other agencies are considerably larger than our county and have more volume that they deal with every year. But I was just wondering what other agencies' percentage of their budget is devoted to these kind of education, community education practices, and how we're in line with that.
I could certainly get that information from Rockland. I'm pretty tight with their chief financial officer down there, so I could chat with him about that.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is that we would exceed comparable programs that are at a similar scale, would be my intuition based on being a part of the Hudson Valley Regional Roundtable and being a part of that committee of my peers, and they speak pretty openly about their challenges with funding and their limitations to doing some of these programs.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of my peers in the industry are part of county departments, and so being an authority, we have a little bit more authority to freely allocate those funds to these types of programs. So my guess would be that it's considerably more than similar departments.
Yeah, I think in the future, at least the next few years, we're going to have a problem getting funding, the county is broke as can be. Read the jail report, how much money they're losing because of the bail reform. There's nobody in the jail, and they can't get the per dollar per bed in. And I'm sure New York State is, they're already cutting staff, so it could be tough.
But going to that, that's a philosophy that needs to be rethought. Mm-hmm. You don't need to keep beds filled, but that's another hat that I won't
jail?
Wear. Yeah.
You know, Joanne, one of my biggest concerns is that while we talk about expanding recycling and new markets and laws for new recycled material that there are no markets for, I have a huge concern for the existing laws that we have regarding recycling and what's going on with the recycling, especially since Single Stream is live and well. And Single Stream is responsible for a lot of these problems with the market. So I think there's not enough emphasis, and I don't think there's enough focus on what's going on with recycling now. That's why we want to hire this recycling compliance guy to go out there. We still, at a zero rate, take it, but it's got to be clean because it's got to be recycled right. And when you recycle something right, it's done at your house or your business. We still have some existing problems with a big source of fiber that's coming into our place, and we'll have to eventually look at that again. But I think that we really should be, and the lawmakers should be focusing on that a little bit, you know, as far as how we're handling material and where it's going and what's going on with it. So that's a concern for me. And that's when I say for me, it's personal. But I think that that's really what we should be looking at. We should be looking at, you know, maintaining, you know, the integrity of the existing laws that we have and making sure these products are being recycled and finding markets for these products. And we're not doing that. We are. We really care. And I'm not saying because it's us. I'm saying because it really means something to us. But I think the lawmakers need to put their eyes on it. And if they're going to really help, then they need to help us strengthen those recycling laws so we can do more about it. So I think that's really what we should be really thinking about at this point.
When you talk about the recycling starts at home, we do get recycling complaints. Who's making those calls? It's not the haulers. It's the people from their homes.
The people who care.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are some things that we, you know, when I look at glass, I used to hate glass. And I, you know, I was one of those guys clenching his fist saying, oh, my God, it's destroying my merch, the belts, the gears, the chains. But, you know, I always say, right, sometimes if you want to change, you got to change the way you look at things. And I love glass. I mean, I try to keep plastic out of my life as much as I possibly can because even your safest plastic leaches into your food. And we need to really start thinking about creating more of a demand for glass. Let's go back to the pickle jars. Let's go back to the, you know, let's start changing something. Let's make a demand for glass so we can recycle it better. So those are things we should be really thinking about. Not so much, you know, creating other things to feel good about them when there's problems with markets on what we have now. We've been doing this since, you know, recycling since the 70s, and we've gotten really good at it now. But now we're going backwards now. This whole single stream thing has really put us backwards. We are still taking it for free. I can't say that enough. And we subsidized that $400,000 last year, right?
Last year, yeah.
So people don't look at that. You know, you mentioned before, and he said, I don't think some people know what we even do here. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think there's a focus on that. This agency is subsidizing that free recycling as we speak today.
So many moons ago, four decades ago, one of the things that we did, we took, you know, the legislators out to Fishkills. I took them right down to a barge and watched, you know, a digger digging that week, then followed the nasty wagon up to the live site because they had to see what it was. Because most people, the legislators were just putting their garbage outside and was disappearing. But where was it disappearing to?
Yeah. How many legislators have even toured this facility?
Yeah. Not one coming tomorrow. Legislator Criswell is coming tomorrow.
I can't answer that question. Not a single one since I've been here.
Yeah.
So Peter's coming tomorrow?
Yeah, he reached out to me. Yeah,
that's okay. What I mean. They want to see what we're doing.
Yeah, so I mean, we're a small but mighty agency, but we need to be you know, we need to have someone who is paying attention to the county legislature and all of the different municipalities, right? And how they, because they also need to, you know, maybe we should have a day or two, an open house.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if this committee is aware of this, but we actually have hosted tour groups from all over the country and all over the world.
Yeah, I am aware.
And I'm really proud of that, and that's part of our partners in composting program as well, to mentor our peers. And we've, since Melinda and I have been in the department, I think we've had about 12 municipalities approach us with an interest in large scale community composting. And we have an open door policy to share our process and our success with those individuals.
And I'm very proud of what this agency does, and I think we need to get that word out. You know, like
I just wanted to add that Angie and I have done commercial about you know, we give tours, we can give presentations, we even advertised in Freeman as well, that we're always available for tours and educational presentations to any place of business, schools. We've done that on the radio and in Freeman. So we have tried to get that.
And in the chamber newsletter now.
Yeah.
We just
sent out the ad.
So again, with target audiences, we're just the business.
And a podcast.
And I think that if we have this education facility, then we do make sure that we can record everything, and then there's almost a library. Like, your food waste thing right now. That's all I think about.
Before I forget, on this vein, you know, this line we're talking, could you invite Mr. Kimball out to see your composting so he could write a nice article about us once in a while?
That's a wonderful suggestion. Yeah, I would be happy to.
Let him see what's going on, because he only seems to get the stuff, the controversy in the paper.
Because that's what he's,
That's how you sell papers.
Yeah, if we could have a dead body here, he'd like it too.
Well, I would recommend.
I found dead bodies out of Tresco.
And I would recommend that once we get past the construction part of this, you know, that would be a great idea. But right now we're back to putting concrete down, and so I would recommend let's pretty it up by finishing the construction of it.
Angie, I just want to thank you for taking a stab at language for a resolution, because that it's difficult crafting such language. It looks really great.
I'm glad to be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
If I may ask, we do have two members of the public that are calling into your meeting today, and I don't know if you will yield questions to a certain time, or if I can just pass them on to the committee at this time.
What was that?
So
they have questions?
Yes, there's a question in the chat.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So the question comes from Laura Pettit.
Hi, Laura.
Who comments that waste diversion starts prior to the tipping floor. Are there any zero waste suggestions or innovative diversion programs that you are considering?
I think it goes both ways, Laura.
Education
of all of our sources that make garbage, which is every single individual in our catchment area.
Our composting program, the food waste, as I just mentioned, next month we're going to be having a resolution for Angie's tote or loan program, so that's certainly one way we're going to divert. Mm-hmm. And we also have plans to hire the recycling compliance officer. Food diversion and recycling are the two main proponents of this whole zero waste thing. Mm-hmm. Fortunately for us, we've got a head start on a lot of that. But if we didn't have it, then that's exactly where you would start to create all this. Yeah. So that is our plan.
And I also want to add that, you know, we are, again, I want to say this, we are currently doing it, right? Thousands of tons we are diverting from our transfer station. Thousands. And I don't think there's any transfer station out there that can stake that claim. I also want to say this, a lot of things that are being said, like separating clean wood and shipping clean wood and collecting the nails, we currently do that. On our Peterson, we have a magnet that collects all those nails. So, you know, we are currently doing a lot of things that are in there. So what are we doing as far as coming up with new, we are constantly making sure, listen, I can do something really great for one day, but do it every day. And that's where our focus is, right? Being consistent. So, and we will remain consistent and focused on that.
I was wondering if it, over the past couple months, there's been many, just like now, many references on the activities that we're doing that fall under zero waste, that fall under recycling, that fall under diversion, the operational activities. And I was wondering if we could, if that could be written up in like a bulleted form, just like we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this, so that we have it all in one place. And like, quite frankly, that could even be one of the whereases of a resolution. Like where, and it could just be whereas we are doing this, whereas we are doing that.
You know, let me say this to you, right, first and right. So nothing, so there's no, you know, there's no just, you know, knee jerking going on around here. We have at least, I didn't count them, 8-10 compliance manuals that we fill out every single day. And don't forget the equipment, right? Because the equipment is instrumental, and you have to keep it. It's very expensive. This board has been very generous in providing staff with safe equipment. And even that has to be written up. There's maintenance to that equipment and stuff. So while we talk about these bullets and stuff, and I'm not opposed to it, I think it's a great idea.
You actually had it started already. You already have a full list. I actually already just sent you some the other day.
But if you were to walk into my facility and see all these books and all these manuals that we, my employees, on top of catching all this stuff, on top of the traffic and the different people that don't know what they're doing, you know, you'd be amazed. So we are doing all those things, and yes, Lisa, the answer to that question is yes. But I can't write down everything we do because you just have to see it to believe it.
And I think even if it's just five things.
No, I think, like I said, like, he already put something together.
Okay.
So
there's a list right here.
Even to add to that, we also have, before waste hits the tipping floor, we provide opportunities to recycle textiles, to recycle electronics, to recycle household hazardous waste. Melinda and I are researching a battery recycling program that we might be able to incorporate. So, prior to disposal, we do offer other points of diversion, and so that I think would be nice to acknowledge in this type of resolution as well.
Plus, some of the haulers, I asked Charlie, some of them set it aside so that when they get here, they say, oh, this is the stuff that you're separating now. There's a list that's over here.
Yeah, I'm noting that the.
I'm just going to make one comment, and this comment is like a reflection on a question about the industry, and I reckon what I'm about to say is like very commonly adopted across the solid waste management industry. And so when I look at all of these programs that are outlined in this Ulster County Recycles Program Owner Overview, I see things along the lines of the DEC's Beyond Waste. I feel like this, it's a lot more than recycling. And I feel like when we talk about departments, when we talk about positions, when we talk about programs, often the recycling language, and specifically recycle, is the first word we choose to use. And I think that's an outcome of the emphasis on recycling from the 1980s. And it's continued to today. And I'm just wondering if other people think that the core teaching philosophies, the activities, is beyond recycling. And I'm not saying that zero waste is the answer, or zero waste is the word or the terminology, but I feel like what we're talking about and what we're educating people on is beyond recycling. And with many communities I'm a part of, many initiatives I'm a part of, language can be very challenging to work with. And I when I hear the word recycling, I hear something very narrow. And I feel like where the world is at is much farther along, where the agency is at. It's something else beyond recycling.
Lisa, I think that makes so much sense. And I agree with you, right? Well, you know, instead of channeling your thoughts and your energy and your sights on just recycling, you know, what's outside of recycling, right? Before it even gets to recycling. So when we talk about that, we talk about being responsible shoppers, right? We talk about being responsible with our waste, right? We talk about, you know, how we can reuse things with our waste and stuff. So I think you're right. When we talk about recycling, we're just talking about recycling. But there is some things that are beyond recycling, you know what I mean, that have an impact on this environment. So I think you're right.
I would agree that the programs that we developed here are largely based off of Beyond Waste and the sustainable materials management hierarchy, where recycling is the very last thing that you can do to make a difference. And we definitely fold that into our conversation, even when we're asked to go somewhere and speak about recycling. Like I said, we try not to have the blinders on, so to speak, with that, because there really is so much more we could do other than just simply recycle.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree with you, Lisa.
So Angie, is there a new term of art that would cover from the, you know, and it starts from production, not even from consumer, right? You know, the consumer can control some of what they buy and use. But, you know, starting at the site of, you know, producing a good and shipping a good all the way, is there a new term of art
that captures
that whole, the life cycle of
things? Well, that's a good question. I think that, by and large, I would agree that language matters. It conveys a lot to people. For that same reason, I really dislike saying food waste. I hate to call food waste because it isn't waste. And the industry as a whole is moving towards calling food waste food scraps or calling food waste organics. And in that same respect, you know, the industry isn't really referring to waste management anymore. They're referring to materials management or sustainable materials management as an industry standard, because that's communicating this concept that this isn't waste, it's resources that we can reuse or reduce. So I don't know if that's helpful to answer your question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going back to, you know,
I can't think of a specific
word, right?
Back in 1980, I worked in the Office of Resource Recovery and Waste Disposal Planning. Yeah, which covered all this garbage, no pun intended.
I mean,
New York City, right? New York City was that whole zero waste thing, and they moved on that, right? Now they're reduced the waste. Because they came up with some goals and stuff, and then they're like, well, what are we going to do now? And they're like, well, that's a good point. We're back where we started, and then we got all this stuff laying around. What are we going to do? So they went on to reduce the waste.
Yeah.
And that's that's what they're promoting now, reduce the waste.
I mean, when I started there, it was the average man, woman, child, and dog made about 7.5 pounds of MSW a day. It is now reduced down to between, depending on what source you're looking at, about 4 pounds. So that's considerable. You know, and some of it was, you know, removing, you know, bottles from the waste stream. That was 15% of the waste stream.
I guess, I think that it would be... Well, thank you for those responses to my question. And one term that I'm seeing a number of places is actually in the mission statement of UCRA, and specifically sustainable materials management. Angie, you just said that. It's mentioned a couple, at least once, twice in the zero waste resolution. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of words. it's a lot of syllables. But maybe we can continue to think about that as a zero waste committee and as a... larger, and as a whole organization, to see if there is a word that communicates the complexity and the richness of this philosophy and programming. So just to respond to Tim, you offered...
Was there another comment?
Was there another comment?
I'm sorry.
Not at this time, but I will certainly keep you informed.
Okay, I thought you said there were two, so my mistake.
Tim, just to respond to what you said initially and the documents that you shared initially, I just, one of the things that I prepared today was looking at the Zero Waste International Alliance's definition of zero waste, which is the conservation of all resources by the means of responsible production, consumption, reuse, and recovery of products, packaging, and materials without burning, with no discharges to land, water, air that threatens the environment or human health. And when I read that, and I also read the UCRA mission statement, like, those are very much in alignment to me. Like, it's just a different way of saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to affirm that.
I think we created that back in, Michelle Bergkamp had come up with the mission statement and the vision statement. I want to say it was somewhere around 2009, because our mission statement used to be like a full page long. And we were like, that's not a mission statement. So she had actually created the new mission and vision statement. So I'm glad it was in line with that way back then.
Yeah, I mean, sustainable materials management, conservation of resources, responsible consumption, production, recovery, care for the environment, public health, human health. So it's all related. Is there any, does anyone else have any other matters that they want to bring up at the Zero Waste Committee?
Lisa, I do.
Yeah.
I've been here since 2012. My first appointment was the year 2012. And I've heard it pretty much all. Recycling, composting, you name it, zero waste, I've heard it all. And I've dealt with five county committees, solid waste management plan, energy and environmental, recycling oversight committee. Now we're talking about zero waste implementation plan. We just got done with the Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission. There were five county committees overseeing what we do. And we have our own committees, this one. And I haven't heard much about this, but this is an accumulation of everything we're talking about here that cost us $129,000 at the direction of the state of New York, DEC. It's by law. This here, I'm a little bit disappointed that I haven't heard too much from it, but it goes into depth on everything we're talking about. And I think instead of talking about maybe initiating a new plan, we ought to open the covers and read this one, because it's full of everything we're talking about. And I'm a little bit concerned that it seems to have been neglected, because right now it went through the DEC approval process, it went through the Resource Recovery Agency approval process, and it went to the Energy Manageo Greens Committee, the Energy and Environmental Committee, and it was on false pretenses of it needing a CEQA review, it was put off to the side, and that's where it is right now. And I am seriously disappointed with that. We spent $129,000, and Cornerstone did a phenomenal job with this. If there's something that we should add to it, and there will be, it was the 10-year plan was well designed with 2-year biennial reviews. And if there's anything we want to change or anything we want to do, instead of coming up with a new plan, let's make a list of what we want to put into it at the first 2-year biennial review. I think that would be put some value in the investment of it. This is the Bible of what we're talking about, but nobody's talking about it, and it's parked in the Energy and Environmental Committee on some shelf down here, and nobody seems to. I understand that now they've come to the conclusion that the DEC doesn't insist on a CEQA review for this. And I think that's a good thing. I got that information directly from Albany, DEC, and I have memos here to that effect. I'm a little bit disappointed that we're talking about new plans, and we need new plans.
But, Charlie, I don't think we're talking about new plans. We're talking about how to implement this plan.
Well, would you say this plan?
Well, if you remember when we were looking at this plan, and again, I came in late, on this, and I don't think I would have gone the route that the board had gone prior to spend all that money when we have great in-house resources that could have done it.
That was misguided.
I'm going to put that down. But if you remember, one of the things I really wanted us to pay attention to, and I insisted on it, is that we inserted in the very beginning the concept of zero waste. That idea has to permeate, because it will impact how much garbage we get in, how much municipal solid waste we get in.
Julia,
how much we do,
I agree.
It's all there.
I agree with everything you're saying.
So Fawn Tantillo,
and you all got this. I only copied 4 pages of it, but it was 35 pages long, of everything that we're talking about doing being in this book. And I got to give Fawn Tantillo a lot of credit. She put a lot of effort into this thing. I only, because I'm limited of what I can do with my printer at home, uh-huh. I only copied 4 pages of it, but it's in my computer, so if I do need to go back to it, I can go get it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's something that we should consider, because let me tell you what I'm really worried about. The Seneca crisis is bearing down on us, and we have about 3.5 years to prepare a landfill. Under ideal conditions, if everything went in our favor, it would take us 5 years to develop a landfill. So we're going to be a couple of years short. What are we going to do then? These are the things we should be talking about. I have a real problem, and I appreciate everything everybody here has done. Angie, Lisa, all of you, Kathy. I think everything you've done is great, but I think it's misguided at some point, because the real problem is bearing down on us as we sit here and talk.
Charlie, whose responsibility is it to move that forward? If it's the board's responsibility and you want us to talk more about it, why don't we develop a committee that focuses on that solution that you're talking about?
Do we really need another committee? I'll take what you're saying, but do we really need another committee to do that, or can't? Well,
Charlie, I agree with everything you're saying. I'm right there with you.
Thank you.
And one of the things that I've been asking is, like, who is going to move forward this work, and how do we do it? Yeah. And does, respectfully, the staff have the capacity to do it? If yes, I would love to know that. If no, maybe we need to hire staff.
Your points are well taken. Your points are well taken, and they will be answered. Yeah.
So here's part of the issue is that this report lays out all the various ways that one can handle solid waste, whether or not we do different technologies, so, and all of them, I'm going to say, speaking from my perspective, if we're going to go into any of those technologies, they demand a certain level of solid waste stream, which, we should be not, say they all maintain that they need 500 tons a month or a week to maintain.
Those right? Details could be worked out.
But there's an economic scale that a lot of these things that are in Cornerstone are not going to be feasible for us.
Oh, I don't know.
They give you options, but if you want me to lead you in the right direction, what you have to do. We don't have the bonding capability to do it, so we've got to get some input from the legislature. Until they make a decision what the hell they want to do.
We have to present them with a bill first, Ken. First we have to develop a bill and present them with the bill.
Let's go. Do you want a landfill? Okay. If they don't want a landfill, they're the ones with the purse strings. We have to get... The board has to say something about we want a landfill. That's what our desire is.
Can I address that?
Yeah.
Okay. Dave Donaldson, the chairman of the legislature, in his State of the County address, was very explicit in, and I think, I don't have a cut, I have it in my truck.
Yeah, he wants a landfill.
He said, we have got to bite the bullet and have a landfill because Seneca Meadows has 3.5 to 4 years left.
He's been saying that for 10 years.
Well, yeah, but guess what?
It's coming.
But let me tell you what.
A resolution or something from the board wants a landfill, whatever you want, and then we'll start moving.
Would it make sense to have the first step be to challenge the legislature to revisit or to whatever our bonding authority
Lisa.
Before we do all this work?
Please
to give us back the bonding authority.
They'll never do that.
Well, so you just said we'll never do it.
that they'll never give us the bonding authority back. That's...
Well, then what are we asking them for? We're asking for them to bond?
They have to allow us to, okay?
That's what I mean, yeah. Asking them to allow us to.
But we have to know that what their direction is right now. You know, they talk about it, but then they got to go back to their constituents, and they don't want a landfill here, there, and everything. We have to...
I think we need to educate them all,
yeah.
Which I think is step one, right? So, you know, it's nice that Peter is going to be coming out tomorrow. Yeah.
We got to know that they want a landfill, basically. Yeah. If they don't, then
what more than Dave Donaldson saying we have got to do this, and he said it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that he said it, because one of the things it makes Ulster County residents do is own their waste.
Okay, let me just say one thing, and Lisa, everything I agree with everything you're saying, but how do we do it? Let me tell you how it's going to be forced on us. Right now, our tipping fee is $105 a ton to ship. Yeah, I don't have to tell you the distances and the tonnage. I don't have to tell you that, but I could. When that stops, and we have no place to go, we may have to ship it by rail to some Midwestern state. Our tipping fee could go to $250 a ton. That'll wake everybody up on the legislature, but that's kind of cruel, isn't it? Because I think collateral damage, the county is going to ensue collateral damage in so much as the construction industry, when it sees what it costs in Ulster County to get rid of construction and demolition debris at $250 a ton, construction is going to come to a halt here in Ulster County because it's going to become too expensive to operate in Ulster County. It's happened in other counties. It's a shame that we have to wait until a crisis like this hits, because that's where the rubber hits the road. $105 a ton to $250 a ton, it could happen, okay?
Joanne, may I just say something? I just want to make sure this committee and the board itself, the whole board, just, you know, don't lose sight of the fact that this agency spent an additional thousands and thousands of dollars for legislator input on this plan. And that was to expedite it. That's why their participation was allowed. And here we are. Enough's enough. It's being drug out now. It didn't expedite it. We spent thousands and thousands to allow them to participate. It's our plan. It's not the DEC's plan. It's not the legislator's plan. It's our plan.
We bought it.
So we spent thousands and thousands of dollars to allow them to have some input, and that was for the end. And the end was to expedite it. So the approval was a lot quicker and easier. That's not what's happening. So we spent the money, and you're not getting what was promised. So that's a problem.
That's something we should be talking to our legislators about, because it's part on some shelf in the Energy and Environmental Committee meeting. But I want to say one other thing, Lisa, to address what you were talking about. There are some things going on behind the scenes, and we got to thank Charlie Whitaker and Tim DeGraff for it. Most recently, I got to back up, about 2 or 3 months ago, when Tim Rose was the executive director, he got a telephone call from a gentleman by the name of Ed McAndrew. Ed McAndrew is the commissioner of the DPW for Sullivan County. And a quick conversation went like this. Tim, is Ulster County still interested in Guswa? Okay. And if so, we want to talk to you. And so Tim said, okay, I'll get it to the board. And he did. I think he did come and mention it to the board, didn't he? That he had talked to Sullivan County? Okay. So... With Tim's going on to higher and bigger things, that's great, and I give him a lot of credit for that. The ball was left for us. And Tim, you want to pick up what's happening now with Sullivan County?
Well, they just wanted to set up a meeting to discuss this with us further. So we set up a conference call for September 1st. So we'll certainly know a lot more of the details on what they're thinking, since they had five legislators change. Sullivan County, so maybe there's a new way of thinking. We'll
okay.
Find out.
So to answer your question, how do we do this and how do we start to put things together? Things are starting to go together. Charlie, you want to talk about Terry Hoke up in Wabernses Falls?
Yeah,
Well, just don't, just that, you know, we.
Worthing.
Well, just that we talked to him. You know, we got all the town contracts coming up, and we had discussions with him. So, Terry's a good guy, good supervisor. He cooperates. He runs a great transfer station. I mean, that's the only thing I know of.
One of the things that came out of that meeting to clue you in as to what's going on, there is a tract of land in Warwarsing of 653 acres, and it belongs to an operation known as T&T Associates. Were you in touch with them? No. Okay, I think Tim Rose was, but at any rate, we have made contact with them, and Terry Hoke, who is the supervisor.
Charlie.
This is being recorded.
Yeah.
And this is not what the meeting's
okay,
about.
Okay. I got it. But to end that, there are some things going on that might be able to move this. But I am definitely concerned with the fact that this is not even being looked at. I am at $129,000.
When is the next meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee?
I'm sorry.
When is the next meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee?
I don't know. I don't know that, but that's a good question. I don't know that, Kathy.
Yeah.
Kathy, I believe it's August 31st.
There should be no reason not to.
That should be advanced to the floor, and if we have to go and talk about it to them, mm-hmm. we should do that.
So, Lisa, do we want to, I mean, I don't know, if, I don't want to get ahead of anybody or step on any toes. Do we want to try and put a bow on this and say that Angie's drafted resolution, try and put something together for that for Monday.
Is it 24th?
Yeah.
Which is Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the pleasure of the board?
Well, I think, as I said, I've already think it's wonderful.
I do too.
And so, you know, do we need those whereas?
We'll look at it, but Angie would redefine it. I'll look at it and we'll get it. But I think it should just be the board's resolution. It shouldn't be anything about in conjunction with the county.
We can only do what we do.
Did you go over that with full intent, Tello?
No, sir.
You did.
I mean, that sounds like a great idea, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. I know
that's only a small part of it.
I have a to-do list.
At least the board
we'll
can look at
it.
The whole board can actually look at it as in the form of a resolution.
It
doesn't mean that the board.
Normal.
Yeah.
I think it's a good step.
I have a lot of capital letters, but my mind works.
And I also have to say, one of the things I really enjoy about this board service is the staff are just as invested. In making
that blue highlighter wasn't a good idea. It's difficult to see.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I see it as more of a partnership.
That's wonderful. Madam Chairman, you may wrap it up.
Motion to adjourn.
Adjourning. I'm going to hope that
Joanne, a second.
No second. We have to continue.
I second. Kathy.
Okay.
Second. So adjourn at 3:02.
Okay.
See you on Monday.
This is the